Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, so we're with Dr. Ellen Chevalier here with the SPCA serving Erie County, highlighting a lot of the cool things that the SPCA does, Ellen. And one of them is, of course, what you do in the veterinary department. It's not just a case of animals get rescued from a house and go right up for adoption. They come through you. What are some of the common things that you do on a day-in, day-out basis to ensure the health and well-being of animals?
So we're very lucky here at the SPCA, thanks to the community and the help we get from the community, that we can help a lot of animals. So the type of animals we see here could be cats and dogs. We do rabbits. We do reptiles as well. And we have a wildlife department. So as most of the public probably in the community knows, we do spay and neuter to decrease the population. But the veterinary department here has really changed, and we act more like a private practice, but for animals who are not owned or who cannot get the care. So, for example, sometimes we do get animals that might be hit by a car on the road, and so they need emergency care, and we can provide that. They could have a fractured leg, they can have problems breathing, and we have a great team here with the veterinary technicians, and we also have some opportunities thanks to the community, to have oxygen cages, and if they can't breathe, we put them in the oxygen cage. We provide the medical. Staff's here till midnight, so in that regard, we can help animals who are injured on the road. And then, once they're stable, feeling better, we will spay neuter them and give them the option to go on the adoption floor and find a family.
So it's a very, very complex thing that you all have here. This isn't just a 9-to-5 job. You said you guys are here till midnight on most nights?
Veterinary technicians, yes. As far as veterinarian, I'm always asked, so when does your day end today? And I say, I have an idea when I start, but I usually don't know when it ends, because the veterinarian, there's always a veterinarian on call. If we're not here, you know, on the premises, we are on call until midnight with the veterinary technicians.
What's the difference between a veterinary and a veterinary technician? I'm just a reporter. I don't know these things.
Well, that's okay. So a veterinarian has a different degree, and obviously by law can, you know, perform surgeries, can make diagnosis on the animals, and per the veterinarian, pending the veterinarian, we can have a controlled drug license, because here we can provide analgesia, you know, to treat pain in animals and use controlled drugs. A veterinary technician has some training and can do some procedures to some extent, not surgical, but under the supervision of a veterinarian. So they will call us, they can stabilize a patient, and then they call us or talk to us, what can I do with this pet? What do you want us to do? And they will put IV catheters in, give medication, you know, clipped, monitor anesthesia, but there's always a veterinarian, you know, in the area supervising.
So how many veterinaries and how many vet techs are here with the SPCA serving Erie County?
So here we currently have, so on the shelter side, we have two veterinarians, and we do have, they're not all full-time, but we probably have 14 veterinary technicians, some full-time, part-time, some one day a week. And then we have assistant veterinary technicians as well. So they don't have the diploma of a veterinary technician, but they can do, again, we follow the law in New York State. They can do a lot of, help us a lot, depending on how we train them with the care of the animals as well.
So how many animals would you say you see on a typical week, and what are the different varieties of animals?
So on a typical week, I mean, again, it can vary, but maybe it's easier for me during the day. But typically in the morning we'll do, pending the surgery, 25 surgery on average. It's not always spay neuters. In the past, we did a lot more spay neuters. Now, the nature of the animals who come to see us, it's more sick animals, older animals. We treat a lot more than what we used to. So the surgeries might be less, because we will perform removing eyes when sadly it's too late to treat the eye, because when they come to us, they might have been, you know, strays for a long time. We might have to fix a leg or do other type of surgeries. And then in the afternoon, we will see emergencies incoming, and we will see also patients, I mean, animals who are in the shelter ready to go out for adoption to make sure they're healthy or identify some skin problems, for example, that adopters will adopt when the treatment is still ongoing, because they can be treated for 4 to 6 weeks, and we'd rather they're in a home. Okay, and then we also will see animals who are in foster, younger kittens that are in foster, that are not ready to be spayed and neutered, or animals whose medicals are long-term and need to be in foster for a longer time.
So is it a case when within your department you primarily deal with animals that are strays, as opposed to, I guess the better way, do you help take care of cats that are already, or any animal that's already a pet of some kind, or is it only the ones that are rescued or the ones that are about to be adopted out?
So in the shelter side, because right now we do have the Lipsy Clinic.
Okay.
So that's attached to the shelter right now. I mean, it's separate. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's different staff, but it's still under the SPCA. So on the SPCA shelter side, most of the animals we treat, they're not owned. So they can be strays. They can be animals who are surrendered. We offer different options, but sometimes animals are surrenders. It could be for a variety of reasons. Right now, we have seen that cost is one of the reasons why they're surrender, cost of medical care for their pets. On average, we looked at numbers of one pet a day is surrendered for cost. So we offer options. You know, we counsel them, and there are a variety of, you know, places where cost might be a little less, or there's different standard of care. But we do take care of their pets, but they're surrendered to us. And then it could be cruelty, animals who are seized. They might be owned, but they're seized by law enforcement, either because they're suffering for failure to provide veterinary care or for cruelty, straight cruelty. So we take them on. We are going to investigate. You know, I'm a forensic veterinarian. I, you know, did go through training. So 5 semesters of training, so I'm certified in forensic veterinary medicine. So I will help the agent either on live animal or deceased animal to identify the cause of death, the manner of death, if there was suffering, and to give a voice to the animal.
So that's something that we wanted to talk about here is that, yeah, you know, it's not just a case of, okay, we're just going to figure out, you know, how the animal is doing and everything. You help in these police investigations, yes, in a forensic way. Can you talk about that a little bit more, kind of how often you're seeing that, some of the common things that you notice? Because I just had a chance to speak with Bill about animal cruelty a lot, and I know that's something that it's an awful thing that happens, but the reality is it does happen.
Yeah, sadly it does happen. And you know, like, it might sound cliche, but it's not. The animals are not going to speak for themselves, and often too, sadly, if there's animal cruelty, there is a link. And it's often linked with domestic violence or, you know, child abuse and other, you know, cruelty within the family. And so I've been involved since I've worked with the SPCA here in these cases, just because obviously I want to help the animals, and also I care about potential, you know, the family and the implications. So some of the cases we see here will be, we, you know, our agents have worked, you know, with animals involving dog fighting. Which, so then we would see the animal, often they're alive, but they might be injured. They have injuries if they fought recently. So we'll provide medical care, analgesia, you know, treat the pain, and then keep them and try to rehabilitate them, you know, pending the case. They can be very long cases, but also as a forensic veterinarian, what my role is to examine them, and then I do have to write a deposition, and I've been asked to go to court to testify if the cases go to trial. Other cases that we will see are going to be, sadly, cases of starvation, whether animals are not fed enough, and sometimes they come in alive, and a lot of time they will. And I do think that we've learned a lot from these cases and do better and better each time. In the past, it was very heartbreaking sometimes to see animals who were extremely emaciated, very skinny, and they were eating very well. And sadly, as they were getting better medically, because sometimes they would have some organ, you know, damage, so we would have to treat them. But sometime behaviorally, it was very hard, because once they were feeling better, they were so scared to be starved again. And maybe I'm humanizing them a little too much, but they would become food aggressive. So again, we work as teams here. The veterinary department is not separated from the other departments. So with the behavior department, now all this case, we have behavior, you know, department working with the dogs, doing feedings with them to make sure we avoid getting to the point where we get to that, because it would be heartbreaking helping a pet and realizing they're so aggressive, they've been so starved that now they could be dangerous to be adopted. Because our end goal would potentially, they don't go back to the owner if the owner's been charged or if there was truly cruelty. So once we bring them back to health, behavior works with them. If we find that they're safe and healthier, they will find a home, which is fantastic.
Thursday, of course, is the SPCA's Radiothon with Entercom Buffalo. Obviously, something that we're highlighting it because we want to let people know about some of the cool things that the SPCA does that people might not be aware of. Within your department, what are, I guess, some things that you think the public doesn't know about the hard work that you, your staff, other vets in other clinics at the SPCA, what do you think they don't know about what you guys do?
Some of the things they might not know is how obviously dedicated the staff here is to the animals and how, you know, our goal is obviously to help the animals and also make them as soon as possible to find a new home. And so there's a lot of counseling involved with potential adopters. All the animals that we treat here, they might not be all healthy when they get on the adoption floor. They might still have some skin disease or some, you know, medical condition. But we're very grateful that the community will step up and adopt an animal and follow up with the care. It's their way of donating to us indirectly. The other thing, too, that we do here with the forensic, you know, department and how we work with them is we try to work with the veterinarians in the area, in the sense that the animals that we take care of here, you know, that are adopted, becomes client to veterinarians in the community. So it's really fantastic to see how the veterinarians in the community and ourselves here at the SPCA communicate better and better for the benefit of the animals, and also identifying with the forensics aspect of it, a relationship between the veterinarians and us. For example, right now, we're working with the veterinarians in the area, social services, Haven House, on preventing domestic violence and offering an opportunity to families with pets, you know, be able to go to Haven House and have the pets placed in fosters. So this work is with the veterinarian as well. So our team works with veterinarians, communicates with veterinarians, veterinary technician, so that if there is any suspicion, they will call our department and talk to us about it. So I think that's one of the things we do at the SPCA. We also have student here visiting in our department. We have...
Are those the assistant vet techs?
No. Nope. The assistant vet techs are staff.
Okay.
Yes. No, like we have students from the Lincoln Memorial University, and they're scheduled here to come. We have about 8 students on a rotation of 4 weeks. So it is very fantastic. We have the opportunity to show them what we do. And again, we have the shelter side. We also have the Lipsy Clinic, which is a lower cost veterinary clinics where the veterinarian there treats owned animals, and we try to teach the students, remind the students their different level standard of care to try to keep the pets in the family as well, because cost we've identified can be an issue to keep the families together. So we have students coming through, so the veterinary technician and the veterinarian do teach while they're working. We speak out loud, we still have to keep the pace, but that is a fantastic opportunity. And we also try as much as we can we provide some training outside of the SPCA. I've been asked to talk at the Medea College for the veterinary technician, you know, classes, or I've also been asked to talk more specifically in forensics at Cornell University. So we keep our doors open to other shelters too. We share, you know, how we do things in the veterinary department here and with other shelters in the area or in different states. So we always try to do more.
Awesome. I think that's just about everything. Anything else you want to get out there?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And I also want to thank again the community, because without the community, we couldn't be doing everything that we're doing. Without the support of the community, we wouldn't have the means to help all these animals. And also, not only the means, but thank you to the community for adopting all these animals. It's changed over the past, I mean, I've been with the SPCA for 15 years. Nowadays, the animals that are on the adoption floor are not always healthy. Some of them have some flaws. They have had a life. We put older animals on the adoption floor, and the community has been fantastic. They will come and adopt them, give them a home, and give them the care that they need.
How long have you been with the SPCA?
I think about 15 years now, yeah. Yes.
New clinic is a couple years in. You guys have broken it in pretty well, right?
Yes, it's really, it took a little while to get going just because, you know, there's business models and a lot of the teams to put together. But right now we're very excited at the Lipsy Clinic because we treat cats and dogs. There are a limitation in what we can offer. We're not an emergency clinic. We will see sometime cases that need to be seen. But now we're excited. We're offering spay, neuter on rabbits. We're going to start, you know, looking, treating some small pocket pet, we call them, you know, animals within our limitation. But I think we're trying to offer some other means, you know, to the community when they can't go to a certain private practice for a location, and hopefully trying to educate them, you know, on some other ways to maintain the welfare of their animals.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.